Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So I'm going to take the title there from verse 5, steadfastness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts this morning. We are grateful that we can have this opportunity to assemble and to open your word, to praise our Savior. And Lord, we ask now that each of us would open our hearts and hear from you. And Lord, you would change us through the power of your amazing word. May Jesus Christ, our Savior, be lifted up. So, Lord, we ask that you meet with us now. We give you this time. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So, Paul here is writing to the Christians there at Colossae and encouraging them. And one of the things he's encouraging them about is their steadfastness, as we see there in verse 7. There's the steadfastness of their faith in Christ. Now, we as believers in Jesus Christ are commanded to be steadfast. Most of us know 1 Corinthians 15:58. "My beloved," means steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God commands us to be steadfast. And I think Paul in this passage gives us some of the keys to being steadfast in Christ. And he starts by saying there in verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." If you're going to be steadfast in Christ, you have to be in Christ first. And that's where it all begins. As ye have received. He's writing to Christians here who have received Jesus Christ. If you have received Jesus Christ, you're a born again Christian. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If you've not received Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And so you must be saved. But if you are saved, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it starts with walking in Him. Walking in Him. If you would go over to Galatians, just back two books, to chapter 2, and Paul talks a bit about this walking in Jesus Christ. It should be our desire to be steadfast Christians in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that's required is we must walk in Jesus Christ if we're going to be steadfast. Notice Galatians 2:20. Most of us know this verse. It says, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." So notice Paul is saying here, the old man is dead, and now the life that I live, I'm living by the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm letting Jesus live His life through me. That's what it means to walk in Christ. Notice Galatians chapter 5, if you would, while you're in Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Look down at verse 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So if we're going to be steadfast, we must walk in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means we give Him control. It means we yield to Him, as we're commanded in Romans chapter 6. Jesus lives in us, in the person of the Holy Ghost. He's there for us, but He's given us a free will. He's not going to bonk us over the head and turn us into a robot and make us do things. But He will speak to us through the Holy Ghost, through His Word, through others, constantly call out to us. He wants to lead us. He wants to be in control of our lives. But we must give that to Him. That's what it means when it talks about in Romans chapter 12 being a living sacrifice. Saying, "Lord, I'm yours. I give you my day. I give you my life. Take control." I want to walk in you today. Don't want to walk in myself. I want to walk in you. And as we do, we will be more steadfast in our faith. So number one, we must walk in Christ if we're going to be steadfast. Number two, verse 7 of Colossians chapter 2, he just gives this word rooted. Rooted means to be grounded in Christ. If you would, look back in chapter 1 of Colossians and look at verse 23. The Bible says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. God wants us to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. There's a verse in Psalm 92, if you want to turn there, please. If not, I'll just read it out. But Psalm 92, verse 13. Part of being rooted in Christ, being grounded in Christ, I'm going to talk more about the Word later, but it's exposing ourselves to the Word as much as we can. Notice it says here in Psalm 92, verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Plant ourselves in God's church. God is the one that came up with the idea to have church. God is the one that said that the preaching of the Word changes our lives, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we're going to be rooted in Christ, we must get ourselves grounded in His Word if we want to be steadfast. And so we must walk in Him, we must be rooted in Him, but notice back in Colossians 2, verse 7, He says, rooted and built up in Him. Now, there's only, as far as things that we can feel and touch on this earth today, there's only really one thing that you can touch and feel that can build you up, and that's God's Word. If you would, look at Hebrews chapter 5. You know, ultimately, as Christians, God wants us to be, as we read in Romans 8:29, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be like Jesus. And God is going to bring what He needs to into our lives to make that happen. But we must be built up. And notice what has the power to do that. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the first time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul here, or whoever wrote Hebrews, is rebuking these Christians for not growing up in their faith, not being built up in the Word of God. He says, by now, you ones that I'm writing to should have graduated from milk to meat, but you're still babes in Christ. You have not matured. That's what God wants for all of us, to be built up, to be matured in our faith. He says there in verse 14, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's not talking about our physical age. It's talking about our spiritual maturity. And God wants us to be built up in the Word of God. One other verse on this, 2 Peter chapter 3, please, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The last verse of 2 Peter. The last thing Peter wrote, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's only one place we find knowledge about Jesus Christ, and that's in His Word. And God wants us to be built up in Him. So if it's our desire to be a steadfast Christian, we must be walking in Him, we must be rooted in Him, and we must be built up in Him. Notice He goes on to say in Colossians 2:7 of our original passage, and it's established in the faith as you have been taught. So walking in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him, and established in the faith. Now, this may not be an exciting truth, but it looks like, according to God's Word, most of the establishing that takes place of the Lord is through trials. Trials are part of God's plan for our lives. And whenever He mentions the word establish, He usually is talking about trials. I'll show you a couple of examples. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Established in the faith. Notice 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called you into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. There's that word establish. James said, James 5:8, be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. God wants us to be established in the faith, as we've been taught. So He wants us to be rooted in Christ, but He wants us to be established in the faith. And that's going to take work. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13, if you would, and verse 9. Did you know that the number one recruiting ground of the cults is not people that don't go to church? Their number one recruiting ground are people that claim to be Christians, but they're not grounded in the Word. That's where they find most of their people. I'm talking like the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness. They do surveys all the time. They publish this information. And the majority of the people that they bring into their folds and make them twofold more the child of hell than themselves are people that claim to be Christians and have some church background. They believe in God. They're most likely not born again, but they claim to be Christians. And this person comes along and says, well, look, I know the Bible really well. And I have a really sweet family. Don't you want to be part of us? I'm not going to tell you everything we believe. I'll tell you that later after you get sucked into our movement. But look what the Bible says. And they're not established. They're not ready to handle those things. Now, the Bible is very clear that we shouldn't allow them into our homes in 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter, but verses 10 and 11. If they're coming to you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That's why if I'm going to witness to him, I do it on the doorstep. But you still got to let them have it if you can, if you know the word. You just might plant a seed that God can use to wake them up. But it's Christians who aren't established. God wants us to be established. Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Isn't it interesting how God talks about being established in the same verse that He talks about not being carried about with divers and strange doctrines? How often does some new thing come along and Christians get all swept up in it, and then 10 years later you haven't even heard of it anymore? It's because they're not established. God wants His children to be established in their faith. He wants them to be grounded and built up in the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, in 2 Timothy 2:15. He commands us to be grounded in His Word. And until we do, we're not going to be steadfast. So He wants us to walk in Him. He wants us to be rooted in Him, built up in Him, established in the faith. And then lastly, Colossians 2:7, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Something that just seems to be missing in today's culture is gratitude. And we as God's children have something to be thankful for every minute. Amen? We're going to heaven no matter what. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, for born again. He is there for us. He will only do what's best for us. And He's preparing a mansion for us, and He's going to take us to heaven when we die. Praise God. And David said, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. God wants thanksgiving to be a natural part of our lives. And what are we to be thankful for? Let's look. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And this is part of being steadfast, is learning to be thankful for everything. It's easy to be thankful when someone gives you a big gift of money. Or you get a raise at work. But what about when you lose your job? What about when you get sick? Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say always for all things that we like or all things that we're pleased about. It says being thankful for all things. That's part of being a mature Christian, is learning that the trials are part of God's plan too. That's why Paul said, you know, we looked at it in Sunday school this morning, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I understand now. These trials are part of God's will, and I'm going to quit complaining about them, and I'm going to start thanking God for them. I'm going to learn to be thankful all the time. As it says, abounding. Part of being steadfast is abounding with thanksgiving. One other verse on this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn over there if you would, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Just a reminder about what we're to be thankful for if we're going to be steadfast in Christ. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in most things give thanks. Making sure you were reading. It's not what it says, is it? For in everything. You know what? That is tough. Let's be honest. We're very self-centered. We're selfish. We're weak. Being thankful for everything, that takes maturity. That takes depth in Christ. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything. God wants us to be steadfast Christians. Why? He left us here to make a difference in the lives of others, in serving Him, in making a difference for His cause, the cause of Jesus Christ. And He wants us to be steadfast. You know, He talks in Ephesians about Christians who are blown about back and forth by every wind of doctrine. He doesn't want Christians like that, just floating from here to there and really not doing anything for God. They're just kind of hanging out, waiting for the trumpet. That's not what He wants. He wants us to be steadfast, walking in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him, established in the faith, and abounding in thanksgiving. Those are signs of spiritual maturity. And their work. They take work. You know, didn't the Bible say that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance? What does He mean by that? He means that if we are yielded to God, and we are steadfast in our faith, and we're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen? God's going to live His life through us, and that fruit of the Spirit is just going to flow. Because we don't have a repository of those things in and of ourselves. We're just wicked sinners. But we do have God the Holy Ghost living in us if we're saved, ready to let those things flow through us if we're steadfast. And we will be able to love others, and we will show the joy of Christ, and the whole thing. It'll become natural because God will be doing it through us. But only if we're steadfast in our faith. And Paul here was thankful for these Christians at Colossae. You know, you compare this to Paul's letters to the church at Corinth. He spent most of his time having to rebuke the Corinthians. You know why? Because they were babes in Christ. They weren't steadfast. They were going here and there. They were divided over personalities. They were abusing the gifts. They were messed up on their doctrine. You compare that to the book of Colossians, where Paul is just saying, praise God for you Christians. You got it. You're growing. You're doing the right thing. And that's the kind of Christians God wants us to be. Let's finish over in Acts chapter 17, if we could. And this is the kind of Christian God wants us to be. A Christian that is steadfast, walking, rooted, built up, established, and abounding in thanksgiving. Notice Acts 17:11. Another group of people that the Bible commends were these Christians at Berea. And notice it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. These Berean Christians were steadfast. The Bible says that they received it with readiness of mind. In other words, they were there listening to get the word, and when they heard it, they received it. They accepted what it had to say, and then they searched the scriptures daily. Those are some Christians that were steadfast. They knew the importance of getting rooted and grounded and built up in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And thankfully, God listed this commendation for us so that we could follow their example. Steadfastness, that's what God wants. Now, I was preaching to Christians, but that verse 6 of Colossians 2, it all starts with receiving Christ Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you'd be honest, say, the truth is, I believe in God, but I've not received Christ. I'm not born again. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Well, in just a few moments, you have an opportunity to say, I'd like to get that settled. I'd like to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. We'll be singing a hymn together. You'll be invited to come forward and say, I want to get saved. We'll have someone take God's word and just show you step by step how you can know today that you've received Christ. You must receive Christ to be saved. Now, the Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 1 that those that believed in Jesus Christ and received Him, after that they heard of word of the truth, the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. After that they believed, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You must receive Him. You must acknowledge who He is and what He's done for us on the cross, that He's God and that He died for our sins because we're sinners and we deserve to go to hell. He paid the price and offers us the gift of eternal life, something we can't earn or pay for, but that He offers to us if we just ask. And once we've received Him, praise God, we are in Him. And once we are in Him, God wants us to be steadfast in Him and rooted and built up and grounded in Him. And I would hope that that's our desire, is to be that steadfast Christian. Let's pray.